I read December 4th.
Shiva Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Understand unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Gurudev. Om Vishnu Pad is so that it's of Sri Shivan. Shiva Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our Guru Varga, all the Sannyasi Gan, Vaishnava Vaishnavis, and honored guests. So we're continuing the theme of last night, which is Guru Tattva, with reference to the oneness of Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada in relation to my personal experiences with both of them, and the different ways that Srila Gurudev showed that he is the real successor of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, it was in Australia that he said, he is Bhaktivedanta and I am Bhaktivedanta. I am his only successor. Nobody can love him in the whole world than I do. So, when I was editing that statement within its lecture to send out on the Hare Katha mailing list, I told Madhav Maharaj that it sounds a little puffed up. It could sound puffed up to the reader, where he says, nobody in the world loves him like I do. So, how do we reconcile that? So Madhav Maharaj said it's like a proud son who's not proud of himself, but he's so proud of his father, and he loves his father so much, saying, I love him so much. So in that way was Gurudev's mood. So first I'd like to share, we also discussed last night how Prabhupada and Gurudev both showed Guru Tattva in relationship to the present pastime of Srila Gurudev and the illness pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. That they're both just that, that is pastimes, in order to bring us closer to them in service. So we gave many examples, magicians and Kumarila Bhatt, and Narottam Das Thakur, Prahlad, Haridas Thakur, Angir Rishi, and Vishwamitra, with all their histories to show that Srila Gurudev is beyond the material nature. Before getting into some of the remembrances, I'm inspired to speak about something that Dolomamalu Thakur Prabhu was asking about. Another angle on how Gurudev is beyond the world of nature in terms of his relationship with us. Because many devotees, particularly most of you devotees in Bangalore, haven't had much physically personal association with him. So how can you feel very intimate with him? Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to one of his disciples named Malachi Dasi back in 1972, that the spiritual master is not the body, but he's the principle, like the principle of relay message. Because that's a little cryptic and hard to understand. So he gave a clear example of what he was talking about. Just like, say, in Hollywood, or I don't know what you have here in India, in America,
Bollywood.
You have the movie stars acting out their drama in some studio in a particular city, and whatever city you're in, by turning the knob, you can get them right there in your home. So similarly, Prabhupada was saying in this letter that wherever you want the spiritual master, he's there. And Srila Gurudev also expressed so many times that you can simply ask me a question in your heart and I'm right there to answer it. Because he's not bound by time and space like conditioned souls, he's present in the heart of all his disciples. He said that, don't ever think that I'm not with you. Know that I'm always with you, and because I'm with you, never feel weak. There are so many instances where Srila Gurudev showed that he can read our minds. He even explained in a lecture that although sometimes he may appear that he's not even understanding your question, at other times, when you just begin asking your question, you see the answer. This is confirmed in Prabhupada's purport to the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that sometimes the spiritual man may appear to be ignorant, just like when Vidura was asking Maitreya a question about the living entities. If God is in the heart of every living entity, how come sometimes they become bewildered by ignorance? So at first, Maitreya looked stunned, like he didn't know the answer. But then he gave a whole chapter's worth of answer. So Prabhupada wrote in the purport that sometimes the spiritual master may appear to be ignorant, but he's actually fully aware of every intricate detail of God's creation, both spiritual and material. If somebody knows all the details of the real tree, like the butterflies and the leaves and the flowers, then it's very easy for him to know the details of the shadow of the tree on the ground. So similarly, because the spiritual master knows every detail of the spiritual world, he also knows every detail of the shadow, that is this material world. And just like Suta Goswami prayed to Sukadeva Goswami that you can enter into the hearts of all. What is that? Yam prava janta manopeta mapeta kritiam dvaipayano vidahaka tarva juhava putre ditan mayataya taravo vaneda tangsarva bhuta hridayam muni manatosmi tangsarva bhuta hridayam. He's in the heart of every living entity. So whatever we're thinking, whatever we're desiring, whether we're desiring him to know it or not desiring him to know it, he knows it. And Prabhupada also said, I know the pulse of my disciples. So also, how did we come to him in the first place? Ekupe ramanda bomite konya bhagyavanaji. Krishna, there's two ways to see it. Krishna sends the bona fide guru, and by the bona fide guru's mercy, one gets Krishna. Or, Krishna, in the form of the guru, makes all these arrangements that you connect with him. So, because guru is a manifestation of Krishna, just as Krishna knows what's going on in our hearts, Srila Gurudev also knows what's going on in our hearts, and he made the arrangements that we would be with him. And he considers us as his dear darling sons and daughters. So even if we don't have a personal exchange, one story that I told to Shama and Little Mama Thakur was that in Australia, there was a lot of, everywhere in the world, there was a lot of banda about Gurudev from ISKCON. So a lot of ISKCON members didn't come to Gurudev Festival. But there was one husband and wife who decided to think for themselves, so they decided to come. So the wife was very, as soon as she saw Gurudev, she was eager and wanted to develop a relationship with him, and was very open and warm with him, and Srila Gurudev talked with her a lot. But the husband was very hesitant. Well, I don't know about him, I'm not so sure. So Srila Gurudev didn't talk with him. But every day during Gurudev's classes, he developed a greater and greater desire to connect with Gurudev, but Gurudev still wasn't talking with him or looking at him. So finally on the last day, he was quite frantic. Why aren't you giving me any attention? I want your attention. I want to have an intimate relationship with you. So just at the last moment, on the last day, Gurudev turned to him and said, I'm working on you. So Gurudev was doing everything. So even if you haven't had the personal exchanges, it doesn't matter at all, and that's the nature of him being Sadhguru. Even the child may leave the parents never leave the child. So even if we forget him or have other interests, he's actually always thinking about us and seeing what our needs are in Krishna consciousness. Once, back in the 90s, I was very ill for 2 years, and I could hardly move for 2 years. And then this year, I went to his Hari Kata Festival in Australia, and he said, I thought you were going to die, and now I see that you are right. Of course, I didn't have anything to do, but I'm just seeing that you're all right. So what does that statement mean? It means that I had everything to do with it. Because he can change the karma. He can change our karma. So, for those of you who haven't had much physical vision, that association can begin. It's already begun, but it can increase at any moment. He said if you're willing to reveal your anarthas to me in your heart, but you're not willing to reveal it to me in person, that means that you don't really believe that I'm in your heart. You get the logic? We're too shy to say it in person, because we know it's there. But we don't mind saying it to him in our heart. That means that we don't really believe he's in our heart. So now when there's less and less opportunity to be with him externally, now is a great opportunity to have first faith that he's in our heart. When reading any book, he says, he told us in Vrindavan in about 1993 that before reading any book, meditate on your Diksha Guru, on your Shiksha Guru, that I know that you're sitting right next to me. So please, I'm praying to you to give me the understanding of what I'm about to read, so that by reading it, I increase in my Guru Nista, and I come out as a maid servant of Srimati Radhika. So, in all these ways, he's showing us that he's with us. And we can talk to him and pray to him that we can hear what he has to say. So there's many ways that he helped me to understand Srila Prabhupada's real mission. And what was Srila Prabhupada's real teaching? We discussed last night one example, which was that first we thought that Prabhupada was saying that he suffers his disciples' karma, and that's why he gets sick. Then we learned from Gurudev that that's not actually what Prabhupada meant at all. So some other teachings. In the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada writes that the difference between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti is that in Vaidhi Bhakti there's no real attraction, and we're just performing our activities as a matter of duty because it says to do so in the scripture. But in Raghunuga Bhakti, for example, you get a great taste and enthusiasm for going to Mangalarti. So I thought that that just meant, oh yes, so this morning I'm running to Mangalarti to see the deity. So Gurudev explained what Prabhupada really meant in that regard, which is so very deep, that when we go to Mangalarti, we're seeing the Mangalarti not as it's being done by Madhu Mangal or it's being done by Jai Gopal Prabhu, but we're meditating on the description from the scriptures of our Goswami, who describes, and in fact, Raghunuga Bhakti means I'm realizing in my heart, seeing the vision of what is happening during Mangalarti. And that is the Manjaris are waking up Radha and Krishna, and Radharani's nose rings and earrings and necklaces have gotten entangled with the necklaces and earrings of Krishna, and so they can't get up. They can't move because they're entangled in each other. So the Manjaris are very, very dexterously and very carefully disentangling the hair ornaments and ear ornaments and nose ornaments and necklaces from each other so that they can get up and receive their Mangalarti, which is performed by Lalita and the other sakis. And the kartals are actually the ankle bells and waist bells and jingling wrist bangles of the gopis. And one is meditating on that Mangalarti and seeing that Mangalarti in its heart. So every time Guru would reveal what Srila Prabhupada was really teaching, the light bulb would go on and go up in my mind that, oh, so merciful, now I'm learning what Srila Prabhupada really wanted to teach us. Also, when Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, he said he was giving a definition of bhakti, and he said, grow rose and offer it to Krishna. This is bhakti. Because he was starting us from zero. We were all in animal life. Just engaged in meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication. And Srila Gurudev clarified Srila Prabhupada that this is just for beginners. That I'm attached to have a garden, and I love the feel of the earth, and I love to see the colorful flowers grow and the fragrance. And oh, by the way, I'm offering the flower to Thakurji after I had such a good time with it. And then, why am I offering it to Thakurji? So that he'll bless me with a peaceful, happy life here in this world. So that's called a rope. It appears like bhakti, but it's not bhakti. It's the word bhakti is superimposed on that activity. So we could see then that Prabhupada was just turn us off like little babies. As Vaikunath Maharaj mentioned, Prabhupada would write to us that just go on distributing books, chanting 16 rounds, and then they go. And Prabhupada also said to me, because he was leaving for the first time, leaving America for the first time to go back to India. And so I was crying at the airport. So Prabhupada went like this, you know, like a parent does with a kid, and he took the chin. And he said, just paint, and that will be your perfection. So that was just what you say to little babies. Just do this, as I mentioned last night, that the mother may say to the child, just drink your milk, and you'll grow up big and strong. Just do your homework, and you'll grow up to be a great lawyer. So Srila Prabhupada was giving us something just for babies to bring us with that. And then Srila Gurudev was showing us how Prabhupada is teaching us for this stage of life, but he wants us to understand so many other things. And it was amazing how Gurudev explained Srila Prabhupada's books, which is that what Prabhupada meant, that his books are like time bombs. We only thought, when he would write us letters, that his books are like time bombs, that, as he said, just like in wartime, so many bombs are dropped from the planes, and then they are destined to go off at a certain time. So just keep distributing the books, and whenever they're supposed to land at a certain time, and whoever meant to read them, when that time is up, that person will get the book and read it and become a devotee. Even if I give a book to somebody, it may be meant to somebody else. So we thought that that was Prabhupada's only definition. So Gurudev explained that the scriptures are such that different parts of the scriptures are meant for different people. Like, this page is for me, and this page is meant for you. And this page is meant for me today, and this page is meant for me in 20 years, after I get more and more association. So that's why, and also the same page is meant for me now, and the same page, when another timeline goes off in 20 years, that same page is meant for me in an entirely different way. And so now we're seeing that as we read Srila Prabhupada's books, the different parts of his books, there are parts of his books that, although we skimmed it or thought we read it, it wasn't really for us at that time. And now, by Prabhupada's Gurudev arrangements, we're forced, or just by some force outside of ourselves, are going to certain parts of his books that are meant for us at this time. For example, at this time, we are directed to read in Ramananda Rai Sambhag that unless one takes the mood of the gopis, he can never meet Radha and Krishna in the Kundas, and he can never serve them there. Whereas previously we had thought, just paint, or just distribute books, or just chant 16 rounds, and you'll be there. And that's how we all preach to everyone else. But now we see, unless you adopt the mood of the gopis, and what does that mean? It's very, very extensive. Learning what they're doing at the different times of the day, and meditating on that, and meditating that my Gurudev is doing those particular kind of activities during the different times of the day. And reading the prayers of the Goswamis and our previous Acharyas as they're praying to engage in different services at different times of the day. For example, what's an example? Dressing Radharani in the morning, just like you dress Radharani here in the morning. So, to enter into Raghunuga Bhakti, when that time bomb comes to hit, means that I'm reading the prayers of our previous acharyas, like Raghunath Das Goswami, and he prays for that day to come when he'll be able to dress Radharani. In that regard, Gurudev said our most important vocabulary is then. When will that day come? So when will, under the guidance of the of your sakis like Lalita and Vishaka, when will I be able to put the unguents on you and put the necklace on you? And as I put the necklace on you, telling you the pastime in relationship to that necklace. For example, Raghunath Das Goswami is praying for that service to put on the necklace. And he's, Srila Gurudev comment that he at the same time telling Radharani, do you know the significance of this necklace? Do you remember the time that you were wearing the pearl necklace and you were with Krishna at Suryakund worshipping the sun god as Krishna was pretending to be the priest? And then when it was time for you and your mother-in-law and your other sakis to go home, and Krishna went in the other direction with his coward voice, you took your pearl necklace and broke it. You went like that and broke the cord of your necklace. All the pearls scattered everywhere. And then you went on the floor and started looking for all the different pearls to put them back together, every once in a while looking up and seeing Krishna leaving because you couldn't bear looking at him. And that's why you broke your necklace, so that you'd be able to keep looking at him as you were getting all the pearls together. And your sakis were saying, don't bother looking for those pearls, they're too small, you'll never find them. And you were saying, yes, they're very big and I can easily find them. Or the time that Krishna was leaving to go cow herding in the morning, and you didn't want to show anyone that you were looking at him. So you just looked at your pearl necklace that you were wearing and seeing his reflection in them. Because for you, the reflection of him is not different from him. So in this way, and then we go back to Prabhupada's book, fifth chapter of Adi Lila, and see that he says, if you want to do bhajan, then you have to follow the prayers of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So in this way, we're seeing how Guru is one. We're seeing how Srila Gurudev is Prabhupada's successor, and he's teaching us what Prabhupada really wanted to teach us, but we couldn't hear, couldn't get it at that time. A major thing that we misunderstood of Srila Prabhupada is how we came here to the material world, where we came from. I remember once my god sister and I asked Prabhupada, because we were thinking at that time that we never met Krishna before. So we asked Prabhupada, if we never met Krishna before, and how come you say things like, we're remembering? We forgot Krishna and now we're remembering. So Prabhupada answered that you remember by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, the words remember and the words forgot are not the real words. They're just used because there is no language to express if you're just one word, remember or forget. There's no real language to express that in one word. And then Gurudev opened again, the light went in my head of what Prabhupada was trying to explain. Because Gurudev gave the example, which Prabhupada had given, but I didn't see it until Gurudev pointed it out. That is the example of the moon on a branch. If I say, oh look, there's the sun on the branch, it's sitting on the branch. But that's impossible, because if the sun was sitting on the branch, then in 1 second the branch would be ashes, it would be dust, it would be burnt up. So it's just to give an indication. So similarly, Prabhupada was showing when he said, when he answered our question, how do you remember if you've never seen Krishna? Srimad Bhagavatam reminds you. In other words, Srimad Bhagavatam is telling the pastimes of Krishna, and then you gradually, by hearing from a true devotee, you begin to feel separation from that, and then in the intensity of separation, a bhakti or a vision comes in your heart. In this way, again, Srila Gurudev brought to light Srila Prabhupada. I would hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures, and in one of them, he said, so many millions of years ago, you were in Vaikuntha. Why did he say that? Srila Gurudev explained, sometimes the mother gives baby food to the babies. So at that time, we couldn't understand the whole concept of the jiva coming from the glands of Mahavishnu. And from that area, he chooses to go to the spiritual world and be with Krishna eternally, or to come to this material world and have to struggle for so many millions of births until he meets the bona fide guru who sets him on the path. So, in the beginning, although then, after I heard that from Gurudev, then I went back to Prabhupada's books and saw that he was explaining it very clearly. And it's also explained in Prabhupada's publication of Brahma Samhita, which he gave us in 1957. So everything would have been there had it been our time to know. But everything comes when it's meant to come. When? When the time bomb goes off. Prabhupada was very mercifully teaching us philosophy while he was teaching painting. He said, in the beginning, he would write me very encouraging letters. He left for, San Francisco, his second temple. His first temple was New York City, and that's where I met him. And then secondly, he went to San Francisco. And then he wrote me a letter, again, the mother or the father, bringing up the little baby in, to nourish the little baby and encourage the little baby. So he wrote me a letter saying, I can tell you that because I've heard you chanting while you paint. So just make Krishna your husband, and in this way, you'll never be disappointed. And always be engaged in the service of your transcendental husband. So he was bringing up myself and all of his other newborn babies in that way. Very encouraging. And he also was so kind that I wrote him about 90 letters. 90 letters as regular letters. And sometimes I would write like 20 questions on one letter and give it to Prabhupada's secretary, who'd be going to India, and then he would get all the answers from Prabhupada. So he was so kind that in helping me and my god brothers to do the paintings, he would tell us so many very interesting information about how everything looks in the Lord's pastime. For example, you might have seen a picture in Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Srila Rupa Goswami is bowing down to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya is looking at a palm leaf. He's reading palm leaf. And on that palm leaf, Srila Rupa Goswami had written an explanation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's verse of glorification and love to Lord Jagannath at the Rath Yatra festival. So I wrote to Prabhupada and asked him, what did that palm leaf look like? And how could he have stuck it? How could Rupa Goswami have stuck it on his thatched roof? Because palm leaves are very floppy. So Prabhupada wrote that when a palm leaf dries, it becomes hard. And he said how many inches it is, 12 inches long. So it gave us so many details, even of what people look like. Like Ramananda Rai is about 40 years old and he has a mustache. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya looks like this. And who else did he give? The hut of Kardama Muni, the flying palace of Kardama Muni looked like this, and the hut of, who was it, when Aditi was, who's the husband of Aditi? Kashyapmuni, what the hut of Kashyapmuni looks like. So giving us so many details and making us feel close to him by allowing us to feel like he's representative of displaying the pastime in pictures. And in the beginning, when I was first painting for the Krishna book, the Krishna book hadn't come out yet. Prabhupada would give us, he would write to me descriptions, a few lines of description of what the picture should look like, and then I was supposed to paint it. And then he would give the captions of what to write under the picture in the book. And then later on, he told me to write the captions. I felt so close to him that he was giving me this wonderful responsibility of writing the captions and presenting the philosophy. However, because I was very fallen and very proud and not linking myself with him to get the right manifestation, sometimes I did things very, very wrong. Like one, because in his manuscript of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it's the discussions with Uddhav and Gura, Prabhupada writes that in the Rasa Leela dance, Krishna's hair was all loose, and the gopis' hair, and their clothing was loose in their ecstasy. And so I took about 15 devotees in a van with our BBT photographer to the park in New York City, and we had them all pose in the different poses. And then I painted the picture from the poses, and I added the hair going all over the place. And we printed that in Prabhupada's window. So when Prabhupada saw that, he wrote me a letter, and you've ruined my book. You've made Krishna and the gopis look just hippie playthings. And then he said the way that Devahuti did it, in the original Krishna book, where they looked very dignified, and the hair wasn't even flying, and wasn't even so long, that this is the way it should be. Or another time, before we had the regular press, we had a stencil press. As I mentioned last night, As I mentioned last night, the first ISKCON temple was, actually maybe it was about this size. Mm-hmm. Were you there? 26 Second Avenue?
A little smaller. A little wider.
It was so narrow. Anyway, approximately about this size. So in the back of the temple, back from the point of view of Prabhupada, who's sitting at the front, there was a little what do you call that machine? Where you go like this? Mimeograph machine. And so the drawings could only be done by stencil. So I copied a picture from the Kandra print of Krishna stealing the clothes of the gopis. And the editor of Prabhupada's Back to Godhead, Sri Rama, he copied the description from the Kandra book. That is, this pastime is to show that we must all be naked before God. In other words, it's an impersonal, like the pastime didn't really happen, it's just symbolic. So Sri Rama sent the pages to Prabhupada before we stayed with them all together. So then wrote back a letter that I think you haven't fully collated the magazine yet. So before you do, take out that picture. Because exactly what I came to the West to defeat is exactly what you're trying to propagate in my magazine. So there were several times that Srila Prabhupada chastised me. He chastised me for making Krishna with big bunches of hair and making his hair way out and down to his waist. And he wrote me that Krishna's hair should only be up to his shoulders and behind his ears. And he said the pujari should also do that. So sometimes he would encourage, as I mentioned earlier and I mentioned yesterday, that even though my consciousness was so low, he said, you have brought me Vaikuntha. So also, hearing from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we thought that we were never allowed to do that, although Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book was the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Gurudev showed, and then when we went to the Krishna book, we understood that Vikritatam Vrajabhada Vyari Janusha Vishnu. That is, the only way to be from lust and all the other diseases of the heart is to hear the pastimes of Lord from the lips of your devotees. So, in so many ways, Gurudev is showing us that he and Prabhupada are one. He's manifesting Prabhupada in time bomb of what we're looking for with Prabhupada now. And in Goloka Vrindavan, he and Prabhupada are serving in the same kunj, same group under Rupa Manjari, and the same gun of Lalita and Vishaka. So we're just so very lucky to come in their contact. And now I'm supposed to end the class because it's already 8:30. I'll ask if there's one quick question that fits in with the class. I'll just tell one other thing, and that'll be the end. This also to show how Prabhupada and Gurudev is the same. Like, Gurudev is always with us. And Prabhupada was leaving first time to go to San Francisco to open up his first second center. And I said, oh, I hear that you're going to be leaving us. So he said, do you think I would ever leave you? Don't think like that. I am always with you, and you are always with me. And when I did this painting of Madan Mohan Temple from a photograph evening, and he was going to Vrindavan, back to India for the first time, just before he left, I presented to him a painting. So he said, I was worried about that we would be separated. But now I see that you can simply meditate on this temple near where I'll be located and just chant Hare Krishna, and we'll always be packed up tight. So I guess we'll end here. Yes.
So you were talking about Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's meditation. It sounded like you were encouraging us to meditate like that. Is that true?
The meditation of which one?
Like, on the Lord's meditation, how are we to meditate at different stages?
So the question is, how are we to meditate at different stages? Srila Gaudiya always answers that by saying, according to your qualifications. That is, you can meditate and just see the deities as they are and think of them as marble or brass, if you want to think like that. Or you can think of them like Prabhupada said when he installed Radha Krishna in Los Angeles, that you should approach them that I have no qualifications, but I brought things for you. Please accept it. And then Prabhupada began to cry. He said, if you see Krishna as stone or brass, they will remain brass idols to you forever. And if you think, this is Krishna, I have to serve him, then this Krishna will speak to you, just like he spoke to Sanatana Goswami, who was so poor that he gave him a dry chapati. And the deity of Madan Mohan, same deity, said to Sanatana Goswami, I'm going to have to approach from all of these dry chapatis. Are you going to give me any salt or butter? So Prabhupada said, this Krishna will talk with you. So whatever we think our qualification is, we can meditate. Of course, in Prabhupada, in Gurudev's biography of Param Gurudev, he has that description of Mangalarti, of what's really happening. And we can pray that, let me come to the reality of meditation of what's really happening, instead of thinking that, here, Gurudev said, the difference between service in the spiritual world and service in the material world, like service as Raghunath Das Goswami was praying to serve, that was really dressing and really bathing Radharani. That Radha and Krishna are in the center, and here my service to the deities is that I'm the center. So according to our qualification, we can meditate. And if Gurudev gave the Vilakus Manjali classes, right, with all these meditations, to people who turned out to be demons, and later on, Prabhupada, Gurudev said about them, when they started their international blasphemy of him, he said, and I was sitting right next to him at the airport in 1996, he went like this, and he said, they're cutting off their own thighs. And later he said, and I heard him say this twice, that Krishna is very worried because he already has so many hellish planets, like where you become a worm and you eat other worms and other worms eat you, so many hellish planets. But he's worried that he doesn't have a hellish planet that's bad enough for those people who take the dress of the Acharya and they blaspheme the glorified Acharya. Why did I say that? If he told Balakus Manjali, Radharama Chandrika, Rasa Leela, 32nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, to them, knowing full well that they were going to turn on him, then really he did that in their presence, because who could criticize them? Who could criticize him for speaking to gurus who were supposed to be on the higher place. Really, he was giving it for us. So if you want to, you can.
What happened to that painting in Krishna and
the
one that Prabhupada said he was in the book?
Oh, I don't know where he is now. It's in,
it's
in some Iskcon temple now. I don't know where.
Could you just quickly share the story about how Prabhupada taught you how to visualize the
Okay. So we were at 26 Second Avenue, his first apartment behind the 26 Second Avenue Temple, on the second floor. And there was a little picture this size of Lord Srinadeva gripping Harikashipu, which I could not relate to at all. So Prabhupada had the first temple president, first ISKCON temple president, Brahmananda, and the first ISKCON temple treasurer, Garbhamuni, pose. He had them sit, one of them was in Srinadeva's, and he had the other one lie across his lap, and one of them pretending to rip the other one, and Prabhupada was sitting on a separate chair, watching and directing how they would do it. In those days, I wasn't taking photographs. I was just watching and trying to remember. And then Prabhupada himself, sitting on the other chair, he was pretending to rip apart Hiranyakashipu, posing for Lord Nrisimhadeva, and it looked to me like his nails were very, very long. I mean, like long, like the claws of Lord Nrisimhadeva. And he said the English of the prayer, Oh my Lord, in your long lotus nails, in your lotus palm, you have long lotus nails with which you ripped apart the wasp-like demon, Hiranyakashipu. And Prabhupada crossed his eyes like that. And if any of you have ever crossed your eyes, you know that it really hurts. And I was so stupid and inconsiderate that after he did it, because I didn't have a camera, and I wanted to really capture it, I said, oh, can you do that again? So he immediately did it again. And then when I was almost finished with painting, I wanted to see what an Indian rug looked like. And so I remembered that in Prabhupada's quarters, which would mean the next room from where I was painting, he had a picture of Sita Ram on his wall, sitting here on it. And then he used a trunk that he brought some of his books in. His desk was one of those tin trunks from India. And my eyes still hurt doing that. And so then on the wall behind them there was a picture of Sita and Ram, and they were standing on an Indian rug. So I came in the room and said, here's his trunk, here's his mat. So I was standing over there looking up at the wall and kind of jumping up. I kept jumping because the picture was high. So he said, what are you doing? So I said, well, I'm trying to take this picture so I can get the model for the rug, but I don't want to step on your mat. So I was kind of jumping so that I could see it close without stepping on the mat, which was close to the wall. So remember my line, I said, I want to see the picture, but I don't want to step on your bed. So Prabhupada said, in Krishna's service, you can step on my head. So then, which I did many times. So then, when the picture was almost finished, I painted a little bit of blood. So then Prabhupada came in the room and he said, there should be blood everywhere in the painting, because if God is not ferocious, then where does philosophy come from?
Thank you.
So when Gurudev was giving me answers to questions, just like Prabhupada used to, and I said to Gurudev, I was like overwhelmed, I said, so should I understand that Prabhupada is speaking through you? So Gurudev said, yes, I've got that faith. And I guess Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Gaur. Now, don't you go to the university.